KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 52 degrees in Atlantic. We look for occasional light showers today, a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. In area news, John Whitaker, Iowa State Executive Director for the Farm Service Agency, or FSA, on Wednesday announced that USDA Secretary Thomas Vilsack has approved the closure of three FSA county offices in Iowa, including one in Union County, also in Decatur and Appanoose counties. The process will begin immediately. After the required notifications have been provided to producers, FSA employees, and office landlords, closure dates will be established and made publicly available. FSA Administrator Bruce Nelson said that the FSA places the utmost priority on ensuring that their services to producers remain strong as the consolidation process begins. The agency will provide farmers and ranchers affected by closures an opportunity to choose the most convenient neighboring county office with which to conduct their future business with the agency. In addition, all employees in the closing office will be provided an opportunity to continue to work with the FSA. Officials say as a federal agency, the Farm Service Agency has been affected by widespread budget reductions made by Congress. Since 2011, they've lost 1,230 permanent employees through voluntary early separation and normal retirement. In addition, FSA has been forced to reduce discretionary administrative expense by over 30% in the last fiscal year alone. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, as you all know, with the exception of the past 24 hours or so, May has been a very dry month, but not dry enough to set any statewide records. State climatologist Harry Hilliker says an average of 3 inches of rain fell in the state this past month.
Basically, you had a fairly wet first 6 days of the month, and a few places since then have stayed a bit on the wet side, mostly northwestern Iowa, but certainly a lot of Iowa, especially central southern sections, have been very dry now for about the last three and a half weeks or so, but not one for the record books, even in those drier areas.
Temperatures in Iowa for May are about 6 degrees above normal,
which probably would put us in the top 10 as far as warmest Mays. And although we'll be cooling things off here just a teeny bit here the last couple of days of the month, so that might drop the ranking just a little bit. But actually been a more unusually warm month than unusually dry at this point.
A large part of the state currently is classified as abnormally dry, the lowest level in a nationwide system that measures drought conditions. The west central and north central parts of the state are moderately dry, according to Hilliker.
Right now, nothing in a especially bad category as far as drought conditions go, but we're getting to that time of the year where that can change pretty rapidly as, getting higher temperatures and higher evaporation rates because of that. And if you don't get rain, you know, things can dry out very, very quickly at this time of the year.
The southern two-thirds of the state has parched topsoil that needs some rain, according to Hilliker, and recent windy conditions are exacerbating that problem. Warm, windy weather and a lack of rain are raising drought concerns in Iowa. The latest USDA report indicates about half of Iowa farm fields are short or very short of topsoil moisture. Iowa Ag Secretary Bill Northey said it's worrisome.
Ironically, that northwest Iowa was probably our driest area going into spring, and they've gotten rains, but the balance of the state is really short of moisture, and normally we don't expect that dry weather until later in the season.
Dry conditions in late May and early June put a unique kind of stress on crops, according to Northey. Corn, for example, is showing inadequate root growth.
When the crop is so short of moisture in that some of that topsoil, it actually is hard for those roots to find moisture and therefore to grow. You would think normally dry weather will cause those roots to go down and find moisture, but in some of our areas it's so dry, if it's not finding moisture, it actually stops those roots from growing.
And while corn in some areas has weak root systems, some soybeans are just sitting in the ground and haven't even sprouted.
We do plant soybeans shallower, we plant them later, and if you do a little bit of tillage, it dries out the top, especially since some of our areas of the state haven't had rain for 3 weeks or at least any sizable rain, and some very dry weather in the last 3 or 4 weeks as well.
The other problem is the soybean sprouts but then dies because of a lack of moisture. 51% of Iowa's farm fields are short or very short of topsoil moisture, according to the latest USDA report. The rating for subsoil moisture is 42% short or very short. The driest section of the state, as we mentioned a moment ago, is south central Iowa, where 83% of the topsoil is short or very short of moisture. Iowa is scrambling to develop a plan for spending federal money to expand payment options at its 200 farmers markets. An appropriations bill provides $4 million in funding to increase farmers markets participation in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly known as food stamps. Iowa is to receive $161,000. The money has to be obligated by September 30th. The funds are to expand the availability of wireless point-of-sale equipment in farmers markets not currently participating in SNAP. Tracy Pennick of the Iowa Department of Human Services says the challenge is that vendors use individual devices to run SNAP cards, while the funding is designed to go to farmers' markets as a whole. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board have announced plans to conduct a referendum on July the 10th to ask producers to increase the corn checkoff by 0.25 cents, so the amount paid on each bushel of corn would be 1 cent. Kevin Remp of Montezuma is on the promotion board and says the extra money would help them to expand their efforts.
We're seeing a gap in what funding we could be on projects we could be using. That, I mean, we're staying within budget because we're projected. We cannot spend any more than we take in, but we're just seeing a lot of good projects out there that we are unable to fund under the current budget.
He says the board has a history of making investments with the checkoff money that have helped producers to earn more.
Way back years ago, this whole ethanol thing started with the promotion board looking for something. So just that has been a tremendous boost for the corn industry and just a lot of different things. I mean, the farmer image and with research these days, we just continue looking for research projects.
And the corn prices have been strong. Remp says that adding 0.25 cents to the checkoff could have a big impact for little additional cost.
We would hope the producer would look at it that way. I mean, in comparison with soybeans, we're still at probably half the rate per acre than what a soybean on your soybean checkoff.
Remp says the voting will be open from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. on July the 10th.
Any corn producer that has raised or marketed 250 bushels of corn in the previous year. So a individual, a firm, corporation, partnership that has marketed in 2011 at least 250 bushels of corn is eligible to vote.
And growers who wish to vote by absentee ballot may do so by contacting the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Absentee ballot requests must be postmarked by June 27th, and absentee ballots must be postmarked by July the 10th. The corn checkoff was first introduced in 1977 and was last increased in 2008. 1 cent is the maximum amount of the checkoff allowed by state law. For more information, go to www.iowacorn.org. And Governor Terry Branstad has named retiring Representative Steve Lukin as the director of the Iowa Office of Drug Control Policy. The 33-year-old New Vienna Republican was named to the post on Wednesday, the same day he resigned his House seat after 5 terms. Lukin, who was first elected in 2002, announced last year that he wouldn't be seeking re-election in 2012. A new state representative from House District 57 will be elected in November. Lukin replaces March Schouten, who became the director of the Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management in November. The drug office was formed in 2000. It works to improve the health and safety of Iowans by working to reduce drug use and related crimes. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits is at a 5-week high, providing evidence the job market remains sluggish. The Labor Department says the number of new claims rose by 10,000 last week. There's also word today that economic growth in the first 3 months of the year was slower than anticipated or estimated. The government says the growth rate was 1.9%, and that was down from an initial estimate of 2.2%. Some big retailers are reporting sales gains for May, suggesting Americans may be cautiously loosening their purse strings. Major retailers such as Target, Costco, and the limited brands all posted healthy gains from a year ago. The world's first commercial spaceship is expected to splash down in the Pacific Ocean in just a few hours. Earlier this morning, the Dragon SpaceX spacecraft left the International Space Station after a five-day visit. The Dragon is delivering back to Earth science samples and some old equipment. Federal officials have shut down 26 bus operations based in six states, saying they posed imminent hazards to public safety. The bus companies have been transporting passengers along Interstate 95 between New York and Florida. That's a route that saw a series of deadly bus crashes last spring. And a motorcyclist's need for speed has him facing charges in upstate New York. State police say 28-year-old Anthony Anderson of Poughkeepsie was clocked riding his motorcycle on a rain-slicked road at 193 miles per hour last night. He was given 14 traffic tickets. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Judy Ray Jude Leniker Philbrick, age 59, formerly of Dexter, died Saturday at her parents' rural home south of Dexter. Memorial services for Judy Philbrick will be today at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Lloyd John Murtis, age 86, of Carson, died Sunday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Funeral services for Lloyd Murtis will be today at 10:30 at the Carson United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Edna J. Weeks, age 84, of Audubon, died May 24th at St. Anthony's Nursing Home in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Edna Weeks will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Lloyd Robinson, age 72, of Irwin, died Monday at St. Anthony's Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Lloyd Robinson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Lois B. Wolford, age 89, of Atlantic and formerly of Messina, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lois Wolford will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bill Wolf, age 89, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center West Lakes in West Des Moines. Funeral and Masonic services for Bill Wolf will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Alan Burks, age 78, of Manila, died Tuesday at the Crawford County Hospital in Denison. Funeral services for Alan Burks will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Church of Christ in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Gerald Esslinger, age 85, of Bayard, died Monday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Graveside services for Gerald Esslinger will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Highland Township Cemetery south of Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has the arrangements. Aletha Mae Brew, age 86, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Funeral services for Aletha Brew will be held next Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Nathan Tater Hutt, age 3, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Nathan Hutt will be on Tuesday at 3 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. And Frances Jean Carlson, age 59, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at her home. Services for Frances Carlson are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.